Well, amen. I do not wish to rehash any of that again, but do want to lead us in a time of prayer. Specifically this morning, many of you are probably aware, as we had a fairly significant tragedy in our area this past week. The pastor of First Baptist Danville, his wife and youngest child, fifth grader, Kayla and Landry, were in an automobile accident and neither one survived. And that was on Monday. And Daniel is the pastor there, a very close friend of mine, he and his daughter, Presley. And so this morning, just wanted to take a time and focus on praying for them today. And then also praying for that church as they are gathering now. Just an incredibly tough week. I went to the funeral on Friday, and I'll tell you that it was one of the most, obviously difficult, but Christ-honoring memorial services I've ever been to. And I, like many others, am just praying that God would use this really, really difficult, tragic, sad event to bring many people to Christ, that God would use it in that community and beyond. So if you will, we are going to pray, and this is one of the specific ways I've been praying. In 1 Corinthians, Paul uses a short descriptor of God, and he says, the God of all comfort. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer even now. And would you begin to lift up Daniel and Presley, that the God of all comfort would be with them, that God would give them strength, God would minister to them, and then would you begin to pray that God would use this to bring glory to Himself, and people who have gotten away from the Lord would return, that individuals who do not yet know Christ would come to salvation. Pray as many visitors, many people will gather there at First Baptist today, that God would minister to that family, that church family. Give them strength and comfort them. And then would you begin to pray that God would meet with us here today, that the presence of God would be here, and God would be glorified. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. We thank You for Your goodness and grace. God, we thank You that You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end, the Prince of Peace and the Great I Am. You are the Good Shepherd, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Lord, we come today and humble ourselves before You and ask You, God, would You do today above and beyond, immeasurably above and beyond whatever we could ever imagine, ask, or hope for. And I pray that Your manifest presence would be here today, that the presence of a holy God would sweep through this place, that God, we would worship You in spirit and in truth, You would be glorified through the preaching of Your Word, and then we would respond in obedience to You. Lord Jesus, we love You, we thank You, and God, I pray that a spirit of worship would be evident, would be present today. Lord Jesus, we love You, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand as we sing, Lead On, O King Eternal.
Days of prep. eternal this morning is who we worship. Amen. He is who he was and he is to come. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So continue to lift your voices in praise to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit as we sing Praise the Father, Praise the Son.
Sovereign God, O matchless King, the saints adore, the angels sing, and fall before the throne of grace. To you belong the highest praise. These suffering, this passing tide, under your wings I will abide, and every enemy shall flee. You are my hope and victory. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit.
At his voice, how great is our God.
with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb.
Church, we're going to go back and sing that one more time. I want you to close your eyes just a moment and pretend, close your eyes right now. I want you to pretend you're standing at the throne of the King. You're standing at the throne of the King. Now you're going to sing it like you're singing to Him.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Hey, we just warming up, getting ready for heaven. That's it. And so I'm excited about today. I hope that you are as well. Let me remind you, and I know some of you may be a little bit late, but in reminding you, but these scripture journals are on the back table there. You're certainly welcome to slide over and grab one if you would like. It's just it's the book of Hebrews on one side, and on the other side, there's some empty pages there. I am beginning this morning. We are beginning to walk through the book of Hebrews, and so excited to begin that this morning, and I have no idea how long it's going to take us. I'm not in a rush to get through it. We're just going to walk through, and verse by verse, chapter by chapter, just walk through the book of Hebrews. And so you're welcome to use one of those journals, take notes along the way, note in your Bible, whatever it is, however you prefer. I am switching it up just a little bit in the short term, where I am preaching through using the CSB. I know Jonathan's helping pass out a little bit of some folks that maybe want one of those journals. But I'm using the CSB. I normally preach out of the New King James, and we'll return to the New King James. But just during this book of Hebrews, just focusing on the CSB version and walking through this, they do some really good things. So here's the reality. As I'm preaching through this, the hope and the plan is to focus, as the theme lends itself, or the book lends itself to some themes. And particularly these first couple chapters, over the next five sermons out of this, this is the title of the theme is greater. But this is what I need you to write. If you mark this above Hebrews, just the whole book, this is the one sentence theme of Hebrews. Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. That is the theme. That is the thrust. That is the focus of the book of Hebrews. This writer, it is unknown. There's a lot of debate over who it is, whether it's Luke or Apollos or whoever, Pauline. There's all these different theories out there that we just don't know, okay? There's a lot of good arguments out there, a lot of things that make sense. We don't know who it is. But we know that this writer has written to Jews who have been converted to Christianity, okay? That's the focus. And what he is doing, the writer is doing, is taking all of these things that Jews had held to and held in high regard, and time and again the writer is going, hey, the angels, Jesus is greater. The patriarchs, Moses, Jesus is greater. Abraham, Jesus is greater. And time and again he says, here's what you hold high, but let me tell you about Jesus. That's why the theme of our singing this morning is God is great. His name is above all, and we will continue that in a few moments. But so the theme of Hebrews is Jesus is greater. And this morning, we're going to walk through that, and even these first two chapters, the focus of the next five sermons is greater, because he really singles in and focuses in these first few chapters with that specific theme. And this morning, I want to preach to you a message that I've titled His Greatness on Display, or His Greatness Displayed. And we're going to look at these first three verses from the book of Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. And if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. God has appointed Him heir of all things and made the universe through Him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of His nature, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. And I pray this morning, God, that You would be glorified through the preaching of Your Word. Give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. God, I pray You be glorified. I pray that we would see the supremacy of Jesus this morning. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You may have noticed already this morning our precious kids aren't with us. They're grandma and grandpa's, they're at the farm. Okay, and well, they're probably at, hopefully they're at church right now, but at First Baptist Branch, they've been on the farm. And so last night, me and Mama got to go on a date. So fired up about that. So we went and got to see some friends from South Arkansas. We went to Little Rock, and we had eaten and visited, all that kind of thing, and said, okay, let's load up, let's get home. And we get in the van, and I realize that we've got enough gas to get home, but it's going to be touch and go, and I thought maybe a little bit more than what we had, and I got in the van and said, look, I'm not going to stop and get gas. We'll get gas tomorrow, just ready to get home. And so we made our way down I-40, and all along about Atkins or so, that pesky light came on. You know what I'm talking about? The little low-fuel light. And, you know, nowadays, what do? We turn and look and see how many miles to E, right? How far could we push it? And anyway, and so we're driving, thought, you know, she's going to need to drive the van in the morning, so I'll stop, and we'll get fuel. As we walk through the book of Hebrews, and especially this morning, I realize some of you may be coasted in here because your tank is a little empty. That the low fuel light's been on for a while. And my hope and my prayer is this morning, as we look at the greatness of God displayed through His Son Jesus, my prayer is that before you leave here, your tank will be full. And so, God's greatness on full display. So, if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea of these first three verses is simply this: Jesus is the greatness of God on display. He is the greatness of God on display. And we're going to differentiate that. We're going to dig into that greatness a little bit. And so the question of the text this morning is, do you believe Jesus is the fullness of God's greatness? Like, He's not just a really good man, or He's a really good representation, or that He's just a really good God, but that He is the fullness of God's greatness. And we're going to see that, Lord willing, in our text this morning. And so we're going to look at this in three key points, main points. And number one, Jesus displays God's grandeur. Jesus displays God's grandeur. And there's three ideas within this that the text highlights for us. But if you were to look at verses 1 and 2, he says, long ago God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways, in verse 1 there. And so what the author is doing, he's setting the stage. He's looking back to the Old Testament. He's looking back to the tradition from the Jews that was so crucial, so important for them and their faith. He's saying, long ago, God spoke in this way. But then notice verse 2. In these last days, what's he saying? Most recently, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. And so he's saying that God spoke in this way, but there's been a transition. There's been a change. What was that change? Jesus showing up. And so we want to look at this, focus in. How was Jesus the grandeur of God? Three different ways. A, as an inheritor. As an inheritor. Notice verse 2. In these last days, most recently, he has spoken to us by his Son. He is rather than sent a prophet or sent a word. He sent his Son Jesus, right? That's what we have in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, he was the Word, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of God. In his Son. He sent through Jesus, but note this, God has appointed him heir of all things. Mark or underline that, heir of all things. What's the point here is that God had, that Jesus came and he sent him as the Son of God. That's who he is. He came, lived his life, died on the cross, raised from the grave. And because of his sacrificial work, because he is God, God made him heir of all things, that all things are subject under him. All things are under his authority. Sometimes you hear people talk about, well, what did Jesus do between the time he died on the cross and when he was raised from the grave? And some people try to say, well, he went down into hell and he got the keys back from hell. Let me tell you something. Satan never had the keys to hell. He never had them. Jesus didn't have to go down to take them from him. Listen, all those, that is created by God, and what God the Father did is he made Jesus the inheritor of all things. He is supreme. So when we sing this morning, how great is our God, we cannot overstate that because Jesus is the heir of all things. Ephesians 1:22, and he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as heir over everything for the church. Dear friend, Jesus never had to borrow anything from anybody. He is the heir of all things. Everything good, everything of value, as we look around our universe, as we narrow in with telescopes and look out across the expanse of the Milky Way, and then expanse across the universe and the Milky Way, you know, the galaxies upon galaxies. Jesus doesn't just own the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills, he owns the galaxies, and he owns the galaxies upon galaxies. They're his. They're his. It's the grandeur of God. If you ever get a chance to go to the Creation Museum in Kentucky, Ken Ham, and that's where most recently they're known for the Ark. Built the life-size representation of the Ark and that experience. But they didn't have that before. They had just the Creation Museum. You go in the Creation Museum and they have a theater in there where they walk through the expanse of creation. And you go in, it's a round room, and you sit down and you lean back and they draw this screen up, and so it's this 3D effect as if you're sitting in outer space, and they walk you from Kentucky to the far extents of outer space as much as they know, and then walk you back. And when I walked out of there, I'll never forget it. Whenever I'm sitting there and I'm watching this, and you know, and they walk through all the statistics and all the size of things and the minuscule molecules of things and all these atoms and then all the way to the end of the galaxies and all this information. But I walked out with this one idea that God is big and he is great. And Jesus was a manifested representation of that. And so he is the inheritor. B, he is the maker. He is the creator. Notice verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also he made the worlds. He made the worlds. This idea of worlds here is the idea of not just physical, what we think about the world and planets and galaxies, all of that and all of our creation, but it also carries this idea of the ages. That Jesus not only is the creator of this incredible world that we see, in the solar system we live in, and the galaxy that we're a part of, and the galaxies beyond that. He's not only the creator of the very fiber of your being, but he's a creator of time. He's a creator of the ages. He has no beginning and he has no end. And so he is this inheritor, but he is also this maker. That he, God through him, made the worlds and everything in it. Proverbs tells us of this, of creation. The Lord acquired me. It's going to be this picture of wisdom, but he's talking about Jesus, or Jesus speaking, acquired me at the beginning of creation because his works of long ago. I was formed before ancient times, from the beginning, before the earth began. This work that God does, I was born when there was no watery depths and no springs filled the water. Before the mountains were established, prior to the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the land and the fields and or the first soil on earth, I was there when he established the heavens and when he laid out the horizon on the surface of the ocean. When he placed the skies above, when the fountains of the ocean gushed out. When he set a limit for the sea so that the waters would not violate his command. When he laid out the foundations of the earth. I was a skilled craftsman beside him. I was his delight every day, always rejoicing before him. I was rejoicing in his inhabited world, delighting in the children of Adam. Jesus always has been and always will be. He is the creator. Jesus gives us, or John gives us this, John 1:3, all things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Do you realize, friend, this morning, the same God who created the sun, the moon, the stars, created you on purpose and with purpose. And he created you for this very moment in time. So the God who has everything created you to be his own special possession. You are that valuable to God that he longs for you. He is jealous. You know what jealous people are? Jealous people tend to be people who don't have anything, and they want somebody. God doesn't need of anything. He has all things, but he looked at you and created you, and he's jealous for you. And so not only is he the heir, he is the maker. See, he is the sustainer. He is the sustainer. Notice verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. We're going to come back to that. But I want you to know this. And upholding all things, look, by the word of his power. Upholding all things by the word of his power. So not only is everything entrusted to him, he's the owner of all things, but he also created everything. But I want you to get this picture that he sustains all things. Not only did he create it, he keeps it going. You and I are here today because of the sustaining power of God. Just think about our world, the earth, tilted at a perfect 23 degrees. Scientists say if we were 24, our world life would not be able to sustain. If we were 22, the life on earth would not be able to sustain. But rather at a perfect 23 degrees, revolving perfectly around the sun. What holds it in place? By the word of his power. Guy showed up to heaven one day and told God, said, you know, really, what you did at creation, I'm not all that impressed. I could do that. He said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I could create everything. He said, okay, go ahead. And he said, the old boy reached down and picked up some dirt, and God goes, get your own dirt. When you read through the book of Genesis, you read those first few chapters, what happened is God told nothing to do something, and it did it. And not only at creation, but because the very existence of God is real, it is being sustained. The earth has orbited and rotated, and life has continued on for thousands of years because of the power of the Word of God. Not even God holding out His hand. Not God bending down and doing anything, but rather because God exists and He spoke it into existence. He is sustaining all things. By the way, dear friend, you came in empty this morning, but you came in. And that is because, for whatever reason, God has sustained you. Just this week, I saw the sustaining power of God on my friend Daniel. He stood up to speak at his wife and son's funeral. And he stood behind a podium. And this is what he said. He said, "If you see any strength in me when you look at me, you're seeing the wrong thing, because you need to see the hand of God." Because friends, if we've gone through hard times and we've faced difficult days and we've been through a tough season, and if we're still left standing, we're still left pressing on, it's not because of our own merit. It's not because we pulled up our boots and just got tougher. But rather, it's because of the mercy of God sustains His creation. Colossians 1:17 says, "He is before all things." And look at this. "And by Him, all things hold together." You just think, even about the human body, the intricacies of the human body, that God not only created it, but He established order so that it would sustain. And He did it by the word of His power. And so Jesus is God's grandeur. And my hope and prayer this morning, that as we walk through this text, that your tank is getting a little fuller. And number two, Jesus displays God's glory. So not only displays the grandeur of God, but He displays the glory of God. Look at verse 3. Told you we were going to come back to these phrases. "Who," talking about Jesus, "being the brightness of His glory." This brightness of His glory, you may underline that, then write this: it's the reflection of His radiance. It's the reflection of God Himself. So Jesus come in mankind, fully God yet fully man. He is the full representation. He is the radiance. He is the reflection of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, look, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Friend, if you want to see God in all of His glory, look unto Jesus. He is the image of God. He is the brightness of God's glory. John 12:45. Jesus even said this. He says, "The one who sees me sees Him who sent me." We see an imperfect but a close picture of this, illustration of this in creation. Tonight, and I don't know what phase the moon is in, some of you will know, but tonight, assuming that the moon is visible and be able to go out on a clear night, and you can look and you see the moon. As you remember from school, the moon simply reflects the brightness of the sun. And in an imperfect way, that is an illustration for us in understanding that Jesus is fully God, but He is this reflection of God's glory, of God's perfection. And He represents the glory of God. But then it doesn't stop there. Jesus being in the brightness of His glory, and then He moves on in the express image of His person. The express image of His person. That idea means that He is an exact representation of God's being. It carries the idea of being inscribed, this impression that takes place. Colossians 1:15 tells us He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over creation, over all creation. So not only does Jesus reflect this grandeur of God, but He reflects the glory of God. The only way anybody has ever seen this side of heaven, the glory of God, is when they've looked unto Jesus and they've looked at Him, they've trusted in Him. He is God's glory. And then number three. So Jesus displays God's grandeur, God's glory, and then Jesus displays God's grace. Notice Hebrews 1:3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, an exact expression of His nature, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So notice that after making this phrase, after making purifications for His sins. This is one area that I want to help us understand the translation here. If you notice what he says here, if you mark underline making purification, that's in a tense in such a way, the original language, that it literally means this, that when He had by Himself purged our sins, by Himself purged our sins. So yes, purification is accurate. That's exactly what Jesus does. He comes in and He cleanses us. He makes us pure. He takes the inward pollution. That's the picture that's there. So you and I being lost in our sin, you and I choosing sin, being evil, being corrupt, apart from the grace and mercy of God. When we surrender to the Lord Jesus, He comes in and He purifies us. He takes a heart of stone and He turns it to a heart of flesh. He takes a wicked man, a wicked woman, and wipes their slate clean. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He takes our sin and removes it as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers it no more. Now, Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Yet the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And though our sins be like scarlet, they shall become white as snow. That when you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, He took all your past, present, future sin and shame and guilt, and He made you clean forever. Yeah, celebrate that. I rejoice in that. But when I read this, you know what gets me the most? Let me read this translation from the New King James again to you. Just this short phrase. When He had by Himself purged our sins. Hey, let me just remind you just a moment. That God created everything. He's the heir of all things. He's the creator of all things. He's the sustainer of all things. He's not in need of anything or anybody. Yet you and I come into a world that He created, and He created for us, and He created us, and we chose sin. And we rebelled against a holy God. And we chose not to follow a holy God. And no matter how young we were, we chose lying, stealing, whatever it was. Yet God, in all of His goodness and all of His sovereignty, Jesus, His right-hand Son, the fully God, looks down, realizes you and I have no hope. No chance of eternity. No chance of experiencing the full manifested love of God the way that you and I were created to. And he didn't look around and look for an angel. He didn't look around going, what way can I create? But rather he goes, this is a job for me, the Son of God. The very God come in the flesh, and he stepped out of heaven and he enriched earth and by himself lived a sinless, perfect life. By himself, he went to the cross. By himself, he said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. By himself, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. By himself, he took on the full wrath of Almighty God on your behalf and on my behalf, and he surrendered himself to the wrath of God. And by himself, he laid in that tomb. And by himself, he got up. And by himself, he purged a wretched sinner like me. Thanks be unto God. Jesus is greater. Amen. And by himself, he loved you. He loved me. And if you don't know him today, I'm here to tell you, you'll never regret the decision to follow Christ. The God that created everything, is the heir of everything, by the word of his power, he upholds everything. The exact expression of God's glory. He had by himself purged our sins. But then, our text doesn't stop there. Did you get the last phrase? He is sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Two pictures there. The first picture of his seating. The second one of being at the right hand of God. First, he sat down. When does an individual usually sit down? When their work is finished. When the work is finished. What does that mean for you and for me? That this salvation that Jesus provides is a complete work. He doesn't partially save you. He doesn't almost save you. But rather, it is a finished work. That as you limped in this morning, as you drug in this morning, questioning, man, how can I make it? How can I sustain? How can I carry on? You may be drug in this morning thinking, man, I don't know how I'm going to get to heaven. I don't know how I'm going to get to this life. You need to sit there in the pew this morning and rest in the finished work of Christ, because he is seated at the right hand of God this morning. He is seated next to the throne because it is a finished work. But don't rest there just yet. He is at the right hand of God. You know what the right hand is a picture of? It is a picture of power. It is a picture of authority. So that you and I, when we stand before Almighty God and he says, why should you be here? The very Son of God will stand next to you and go, he's one of mine, she's one of mine, and he has all the right and authority to do so. Because he is our advocate. He is our Savior. Hebrews chapter 9, Lord willing, we'll get there should he tarry. Says that he entered the most holy place once for all time. Not by the blood of goats and calves, but here's by himself, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. For it is the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow, sprinkling those who are defiled, sanctified by the purification of the flesh. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our consciousness from the dead works, from dead works, so that we can serve the living God. He's saying if the blood of goats and these other animals somehow temporarily, not eternally, appeased a holy God, how much more will the eternal grandeur, glory of God, the very Son of God Himself, offering Himself not in the earthly temple, not in the Holy of Holies in the earthly place, but rather those are a picture of things to come. He offered Himself in the true Holy of Holies place in front of Almighty God, and that brought our sanctification. It brought our purification. It brought our salvation. And so here's what's happened this morning in our text. The author has looked back to the past and said, you've been dependent on prophets and a word from God. But we have the perfect word from God, from Jesus, who starts with the grandeur of God, that He was in creation and eternity past. And what happens in your mind, I want you to see this, is that He takes a microscopic lens and drills into the depth of who you are and saying, this is the grandeur of God, and He brought it right to your doorstep so that you could know the God who is the inheritor of all things, the maker of all things, the sustainer of all things, so that you too could see the reflection, the express image, the brightness of God's glory, and that you very personally can experience the purification that He had by Himself purged you from your sins. And then rest this fine Sunday morning in knowing that He is seated at the right hand of God as a completed work and as one having authority to forgive. Has your cup gotten full this morning? I pray that it has. And so, how do we respond? Number one, surrender your heart and life to Jesus. There's no greater today than to say, Jesus, here I am. Be the boss and master of my life. I give everything to you. This God that has everything yet wants you. Surrender to Him. And then, quite honestly, some of us may need to limp our way up to the altar and just rest ourselves in the hand of God, saying, God, I need you to fill me up. I need you to strengthen me. My hope, my heart, my prayer is that if nothing else is accomplished this morning, that your view of God and who Jesus is and is what He has done has grown in a deeper, more glorifying way to God. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your love and affection. We thank you that you are a personal God. And that, God, we read words like by Himself. God, I pray this morning for anybody that is lost and doesn't know you. God, I pray you would save them, convict them of their sin. Give them grace to repent and to believe on you. And if that's you this morning, just cry out right where you're at. You don't need specific words of a prayer. Just express your heart to God that you want forgiveness, that you need His salvation, that you need Him in your life. Beg for God's mercy. Beg for God's forgiveness. Beg for His salvation. And give everything of who you are to all that He is. And commit by His grace to follow Him the rest of your life. Lord, I pray in these few moments, God, we would respond in obedience to you. that our yes would be on the table, that God, you would fill us up, you would minister to us. Pray in Jesus' name. You remain in attitude of prayer. Maybe you want to come to the altar this morning and just pray. I invite you, come now. Come, just kneel before the Lord. Maybe you want to pray right where you're at, and that's fine too. Just take this moment and ask God to fill you up. Fill your tank up. Love you. God, my preaching and vocabulary is inadequate in being able to communicate the greatness of you. Lord, I pray you'd forgive me. Lord, I pray this morning that we would be reminded from the holy word of God how great you are. And that you are worthy to be praised. You're worthy of our lives. I pray we would give our lives to you. Totally and completely, fully surrendered to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, would you stand with me? We're going to sing another song. And we're singing, Great Are You, Lord. And I can't imagine how we could be any more primed and ready to sing about the greatness of God. So my hope and prayer is that you'll take this time, coming out of time in His Word, to worship Him.
Our praise and joy. I want to tell you a story. It's a story about people who do some of the hardest, most important work on earth. They start churches in places where people tell them, we don't need church. They provide food and shelter for families who don't even have the basics of life. They share the gospel everywhere for everyone. They are North American missionaries. It's always been hard doing what they do, but it's not always been like this past year. When the world shut down, the easy thing for them would have been to wait, hold off, or to stop. But that didn't happen, and it never will. Because for your North American missionaries, the mission always moves forward.
We're still sharing the gospel. We're still impacting lives. We're still here. We never stopped.
Right now, your North American missionaries are adapting. They're innovating. They're coming up with new ways to take the gospel into places it's never been before. You can do that when you have tens of thousands of people like you who give to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering.
Ministry costs money, and so your giving enables us to continue to spread the good news of the gospel.
You see, no matter what's happening around us, when the world says stop, God always says go. That's why we're seeing new churches planted. We're seeing needs met, and we're seeing believers baptized. It's what happens when God's people give, pray, and go. Thank you for praying for your missionaries, because prayer is powerful. And thank you for giving to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. As you do that, you provide the fuel that moves the mission forward. There's so much work to be done, now more than ever. It's estimated that there are 275 million lost people in North America. And so, what happens next in this story is up to you.
Well, amen. One of the things is Southern Baptists, it makes us distinct, is that we have chosen to cooperate together with other Southern Baptists to do missions. You do that every week for your regular tithes. There's a percentage of that that sends to what we call the cooperative program, and it goes and supports missions all over. But then also we have these special offerings like Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong, Dixie Jackson, some of these special offerings that go specifically to the mission field and to the work in the kingdom in terms of, like this, for Annie Armstrong, the North American Mission Board, where we cooperate together to support church plants and missionaries like you just heard from this morning. So for the next few weeks, we'll be carrying this on. There is an envelope in the pew back there that says Annie Armstrong Easter Offering. Yes, I know it's not Easter yet, but what they've done is we just run this during March, okay? Because sometimes you have to chase Easter around a little bit on the calendar. But throughout the month of March, we will have an opportunity for you to be able to give toward this. Our goal as a church family is $4,600, and so we hope this is what I just challenge you and ask you to do, okay? I ask you to take an envelope for you and your family. Pray, God, what is it you would have us to give? Now, here's my encouragement to you, okay? Let me help just try to be your pastor for a moment. This is over and above giving. I believe that these offerings, these things that you give your tithe weekly, that stays faithful. But offerings like Annie Armstrong, Lottie Moon, those special type things, this is the over and above giving. And so I know sometimes we wrestle with taking our tithe and putting it somewhere else. I believe tithe goes to the church, faithful to that. I just preached 6 weeks on that, so I'm not going to rehash all that, okay? You're tired of it already. But these envelopes, as you pray about, God, what is it you would have me to give? That's the over and above giving of your regular tithes as a part of that. Now, I will say that it also is available online. You can go and click the drop-down, and when you go online to our website, drop-down, and there's an Annie Armstrong option there that you can designate your giving there online as well, okay? Thank God for you. Don't forget, hey, we've got our, ask our men to go ahead and be ready to receive as we dismiss. We have those scripture journals in the back if you would like one. Also, there are the invite cards. We have a basket of those. They're grouped into groups of 10. I hope you'll make a real effort, a real challenge between now and Easter. We've laid out a big goal of 1,000 personal invitations between now and Easter. And then just a fun way to try to keep track of that, there are the little glass gems that are back there. There's a bowl that is full. There's a bowl that doesn't have just a handful in it right now. And we're just asking, as you come in, transfer from one over into the, right now it's the one that doesn't have very many. Those are the number of invitations that have been given. So how many people you invited this week, just grab a number of those gems and put them over in the other, and we'll do a better job of labeling those in the week ahead. That way you know which is which. So, all right? All right, let's stand, and I'm going to pray. And I think we may be singing Family of God on our way out. So there you go. All right, let me thank you for being here. Lord, you're gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for today. We thank you for your love and affection. And God, thank you for your greatness. And I pray that as we study the book of Hebrews, we would fall more and more deeply in love with you and your word. And help us to be a witness for you this week. Help us to invite others. I pray you would take this offering, this our tithes and offerings, that God, you would take and bless it, and God, multiply it, use it for your kingdom. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this song.